It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello there and welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here. By the way, if you have a question or a comment, you can always send me an email through the Hoag Hospital website at hoag@radiomd.com. That's hoag@radiomd.com. On today's show, we have an excellent guest, Dr. Jeffrey Yoshida. He's the program director for Hoag Urologic Oncology and an expert in the field of bladder, kidney, and prostate cancer. Welcome, Dr. Yoshida.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning. I think we should talk a little bit about some of the controversies surrounding prostate cancer screenings. A U.S. expert panel recently said don't get the PSA prostate cancer screening, but many physicians and patient advocates say do get the screening. So what's a man supposed to do?
Well, that's a good question. That's a topic that my patients have been bringing up in my office, too. Mm-hmm. The U.S. panel recommendation, the recommendation was based on basically some research that was completed here in America, and they focused their recommendations on that one study. What's interesting is that several large studies in Europe have actually been completed as well, showing that the PSA screening is beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation is for men to do PSA screening and prostate cancer screening.
Starting at what age?
Well, traditionally, screening has started at age 50, unless you were African American or had a family member that had a brother or father had prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But now research is indicating that all men starting at age 40 would probably be better.
Okay.
And the reason for that is as men get older, they develop other problems of their prostate, like prostatitis, enlargement, which confuses the PSA reading. Or can make the interpretation of the PSA reading more confusing. So by starting it earlier, we're able to kind of figure out a man's risk of developing prostate cancer later in life.
Okay. And what are some of the concerns with the test?
Well, the concerns really are, how meaningful the test is. Does
mm-hmm.
it really help detect the cancers early? And then when we treat these patients, is it really benefiting the patient? Would the patient have died of old age or
mm-hmm.
some other condition rather than the prostate cancer? So that's the main question that these studies have been trying to address. And it appears that these studies, at least the ones in Europe, have shown that men are living longer, they're having less advanced cancers,
mm-hmm.
Less deaths, et cetera, related to the cancer.
Okay. Well, that sort of speaks to my next question. I was going to ask, do high PSA levels always mean that prostate cancer is present, or maybe there are some other reasons for high PSA levels in the blood?
Well, yeah, the PSA level, the PSA test has some inherent problems. It was never really designed just to detect prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, when we use it for that purpose, we do get falsely elevated levels. And like I mentioned earlier, there's other conditions in the prostate that are non-cancerous that can cause that level to go up, such
mm-hmm.
as enlargement that occurs as men get older, prostatitis, which is an inflammatory process of the prostate. Sometimes when men have had procedures on their urinary tract,
mm-hmm.
those procedures can cause that PSA level to go up, urinary tract infections, et cetera, et cetera. So to answer your question, when a PSA level goes up, it does not mean a patient has cancer, but further testing is needed.
Okay, so would it be safe to say it's one of the markers?
It is. We're developing some newer tests, but right now the PSA is probably one of the better markers we have for prostate cancer.
Okay, so in your opinion, to summarize, every man 40 and up, regardless of race, should absolutely get a PSA test.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And we spoke a little bit about prostatitis and the enlargement, but what happens to cause that inflammation and enlargement?
Well, enlargement occurs. Both conditions are poorly understood, and a lot of different factors contribute to both problems. Enlargement, we think occurs as men get older related to possibly some hormonal changes that occur.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with enlargement, you can develop symptoms. So some men develop difficulty urinating and other symptoms. Some men never develop symptoms. Prostatitis is probably even more poorly understood. It's an inflammatory process in the prostate. And a lot of times may not even cause symptoms, and other men can have severe symptoms. So those are two conditions that unfortunately cause that PSA level to go up too. So we have to be aware of those.
Tough field you're in.
Yeah. but it's fun getting to work with men and you know, helping them out for sure. Yeah.
Speaking of helping them out, is there anything we can do to prevent prostate cancer?
Preventing prostate cancer, that's a difficult one, and the answer is probably not. You know, there's a lot of things out of our control that causes it, like just the genes we inherit from our parents. I think we can modifying your diet early on in life, like reducing red meats, not smoking, those things can potentially prevent, you know, or reduce your risk of prostate cancer later on in life. And also a lot of exercise and staying thin. You know, obesity has been linked with prostate cancers and death from prostate cancer. So you want to keep that in mind too.
Okay, now let's just get the big elephant out of the room. What about biking and men?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, biking can cause an inflammatory process of the prostate, such as prostatitis. But I don't think that a man, if they enjoy biking, should not, you know, continue to ride because they're worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think if you're an avid biker and your PSA goes up, I think, you know, see a urologist to kind of get the situation checked out further. But absolutely bike.
Kind of an unfortunate design, right, for people who like to bike who happen to be men.
Yeah, because that prostate's right there where, you know, that you end up sitting on it. A little bit of a problem.
Okay. Any warning signs that a man has prostate cancer?
Not in this day and age. You know, getting back to the PSA test really briefly, before we started doing PSA testing, how we diagnosed prostate cancer was men coming in with back pain related to the prostate cancer spreading to their bones or an inability to urinate due to the cancer in their prostate, those kinds of things. Now, because we've detected prostate cancer so much more early with the PSA test, virtually, it's very rare for a man to have symptoms. So nowadays, there really aren't any warning signs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the PSA test painful?
The PSA test is a blood test. So, no. I mean, I guess you could say having a little needle stick and, you know, 1 second of mild pain, but no, it's not a painful test at all.
Any manly man should be able to not have fear for the PSA test.
Correct. Well, you know, men as they reach the middle age, they're getting their blood tests for cholesterol and those kinds of things. So it would just be added on to one of those tests.
Oh, easy. So really nothing to fear at all. Yeah, people, you know, they speak of it, well, almost the way women speak about mammograms is they're worried about, you know, radiation. But in this case, it's just a needle stick. So you really don't have those concerns.
Right.
What does early detection mean, Dr. Yoshida?
That is the whole point behind PSA testing. So early detection is detecting a cancer before it's essentially too late. In other words, before the cancer has spread to other parts of the body, when treatment is really then very, very difficult. So you want to catch cancers when you can cure them.
Mm-hmm.
Cancers are not curable most of the time once they've spread to other parts of the body. And that's why we're, you know, I'm real adamant about continuing PSA testing going forward, is that if you look at the statistics in the United States since we started PSA testing in the early 90s, there's been a reduction in mortality from prostate cancer by 40%.
Really?
There's been a 75% reduction in metastatic prostate cancer. So what we've done essentially is we've caught cancers because of the PSA test at an earlier stage. Or early detection. And so we're curing a lot of patients because of that. Less patients are having these advanced cancers.
Fantastic. That's always good news, and it's really great to be alive and well and getting medical care in the year 2012 as opposed to the year, 1500.
Yeah, I agree.
So how does imaging play a role in early detection?
Well, we've used an ultrasound. So when we're concerned that a patient may have prostate cancer, we do a prostate biopsy, and we've done that with an ultrasound that's placed in the rectum that helps us to guide the needle for the biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the last few years, the technology with MRI has really expanded, and so in some cases, we're actually using MRI for early detection in some cases as well.
Okay.
So those are the two big ones, I think, right now.
Today we're speaking with Dr. Jeffrey Yoshida about the controversies surrounding prostate cancer screenings. And coming up, we're going to talk about what to do if you've been tested and need treatment. For more information on Dr. Yoshida, you can visit hoaghospital.org, and you can also listen to this podcast of this show whenever you like and tell a friend. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. Please stay with us because there's much, much more to come.